God. Amen, church. Awesome being with you. Have a seat, please. My name's Nathan, one of the pastors here, and we want to welcome you here at RCC. And this is your first time here at RCC. We hope you feel right at home. Once you know, we got something really cool for you. We got these coffee mugs. We would love to hand you one, and that is go to Welcome Center right after this. We'll give you one of these. And when I go in people's homes, they have like 20 of these. Now, they have to pay for them. You, first time, we'll give it to you for free, all right? So we love to see you. Today, we're talking about something that's really pivotal to kind of who we are at RCC, and that's going back to the basics. And oftentimes in life, you have to do that, don't you? Let's just go back to the basics. As we start back into our first year or in our year together in 2022, that's what we're doing. And that is Church on Mission. Now, I just want to say something real quick before we start, and that is I want to give a big, big thank you to all of those of you who serve. Some of you have been coming early this morning. Some of you are going to serve afterward, and you know exactly what we're getting at here at RCC. At RCC, we're about worshiping 1 hour. That's what we're doing right now together. And we're also about serving 1 hour every single week. And on top of that, we want to be in life groups. We want to be worshiping God's and learning about God's word every single hour, at least 1 hour each week with our brothers and sisters of Christ. We want you to serve 1 hour, worship 1 hour, be in God's word within 1 hour each week with other believers. And so if you missed last week, I'm going to encourage you to go back and listen to that. Really simple. Just go to riverchristian.church/messages. riverchristian.church/messages, and you'll hear last week's message. But today, I want to encourage you to take a big, bold step from the sidelines and becoming an unleashed disciple. Raise your hand right now if you remember the first time you jumped from something really high. Raise your hand if you remember the first time you jumped from something really high. All right, I can't quite remember. It's been a long time. I've done a lot of crazy stuff between that time and now, but I do remember when my kids jumped from something really high. It was when I think about River, I think about my last one, I think about Little River. He was probably about 6 years old, and he was at the high dive at the Eagle Harbor Pool. Maybe you guys know, you know I'm talking about the high dive. And little 50 pounds of River, all right, is there climbing up that ladder. And for me, I'm like, it's no big deal. But for him, I'm thinking, like, it just seemed like he was going up the Empire State Building. It just seemed like he was just kind of going up and up and up. And that little body ended up on that diving board at the very top. And my first thought was, is this even legal? I mean, somebody this young, I mean, can they jump from something that high here, you know, in public? But nobody was stopping. The lifeguard was sitting there watching. And then some, you know, River's up there, and he's standing on the edge of the platform, on the edge of the diving board. And some kid, you know, some jerk at the bottom is like, jump, just jump, you know, trying to get him out of the way. And I'm sitting there going, if he jumps and things don't go well, this could, like, scar him for life. I mean, I wonder how this is going to go. If he belly flops, like, this could be bad. And all of a sudden, before I know it, I see his little body falling in the air. And there he is, and I'm thinking, okay, he's got okay form, and he hit the water, and he comes up. I'm like, oh, good, he didn't die. And then he swims over to the ladder. He gets out of the pool, and you know what he does then? Gets right back in line. It's like watching a dryer, all right? He just goes down and up and down and up for 30 minutes just watching him just keep going. And River, Little River, learned something that day that's so important, and he found out the important principle that there are some things in life that we never really know how great they are until we take the risk and jump in. There's just some things in life that we really don't know how great they are. I grew up in the South, and my diet was pretty basic, just kind of meat and potatoes, all right? In college, I basically ate Pop-Tarts and Hot Pockets. Like, that was pretty much my diet for several years. And so all of a sudden, get married, and Rachel and I move off to Arizona. I'm in somebody's house, and they say, hey, you ought to try this stuff. I'm like, what's that? It looked kind of pukish green, chunky. You know, I'm like, what is that? They call it guacamole. I'm like, holy moly, what'd you say? I don't know what is that? Guacamole. I didn't know. And you know, I just take a chip, dip it in there, and I did that. And can I just give a big praise Jesus for good Mexican food? I mean, that was just life-changing right there. My life's never been the same. You know, Jesus, my wife, and guacamole, okay? So you know, it's just, you didn't know until I took the risk and jumped right in. Somebody showed me some raw fish. They called it sushi. I'm like, hey, where my family comes from, we call that bait, you know? But some of you have taken that risk, and you've jumped right in, and you love sushi, all right? So there are some things in life that you don't know how great they are until you do that, until you jump in. And today I want to challenge you in honor of the one who gave it all for us, in the honor of the one who risked it all for us, and he came down to earth to die for us, in honor of the one that we would make that move and that we would jump right in and serve his bride, which is the body of Jesus Christ. So you know, not because the church needs it, but because Jesus said that if we follow him, he said, come and die, is what he said. Isn't that a great motto, come and die? Isn't that so inviting? University of Michigan did a study recently about volunteering. They found out the opposite to be true. They found out that people who volunteer, who serve, those people who serve, have a 60% lower premature death rate than those who don't serve. So it's official. Volunteer or die, right? I mean, that's what do you want to do? So here at RCC, we keep dreaming. I mean, we keep launching new ministries. Food and Friends, we launched in 2021. Nativity, we launched 2021. Carmen didn't tell you about that, but we had over 100 people volunteer for the Nativity. Isn't that awesome? I mean, it's just amazing watching all these new things that RCC is diving into, and we need more people to dive in to help us accomplish the things to reach more people out there who are lost and bring them into the kingdom of God. So we need more people to step up. You'll never know how good it is until you take a risk and you jump right on in. And I believe that Jesus' life is possible for us who want to act and love and think and live like Jesus and even talk like him. So he invites everyone to follow him with the understanding that in following him, we will become like the one that we follow. And so the question is, do you really want that? Do you really want, because consequences come when you become more like Jesus. There was a young man, and he was talking to his dad, and I kind of got this going on in my family. He's 16 years old, and he's starting to want to drive, and he went to his dad. He says, Dad, I want a car, and I want to drive. And dad says, well, you need to make some changes in your life. And the son's like, what changes do I need to make? And the dad says, you need to cut your hair, you need to get better grades, and you need to get a job. So several months later, the son comes up to the dad and says, Dad, I'm ready to kind of get that car. And the dad's looking at him and says, well, we haven't made all the changes. And the son looks at him kind of dumbfounded and says, what do you mean we haven't made all the changes? I mean, I got a job, and I went from C+ to A-, and my grades are better. And the dad looked at the son and said, what about that hair? You still have long hair. And the son said to dad, he said, you know, you and mom gave me a Christmas gift, and one of them was a Bible. And I looked at the Bible, and I was reading the Bible, opened up, there's a painting, Dad, of Jesus. Dad, did you know that Jesus had long hair? Did you know that, Dad? And the dad looked at the son after a pause, said, yes. And he walked everywhere he went, didn't he? Oh, I like that, Dad. That's a good dad right there. So I ask once again, how much do you really want to be like Jesus? Because we have many people who've settled for what this culture calls as Christian, and you can be a Christian as culture and not look anything like Jesus. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's not the win of our church. Our win is not to get a whole bunch of people inside of a room who like Jesus. We want to get people here and online who are basically just saying, you know, I want to grow because I want to go in the world and be like Jesus. And so the win here at RCC is our mission, and the mission is this: win people, and it's to train believers and unleash disciples. Will you say those six words with me? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Win people, train believers, unleash disciples. One more time. Win people, train believers, unleash disciples. And so today our win is really to get people to be unleashed, the disciples of Jesus Christ to be unleashed. And if you're going to be an unleashed disciple, you're going to have to follow through and serve like Jesus. Jesus said this, the Son of Man, talking about himself, the Son of Man did not come here on earth to be served, but to what? But to what? Serve. To serve. And here's the irony. Many Christians pick a church for the exact opposite reason. They don't pick a church to serve. They often pick a church because they want to be served. And in a culture, consumer Christianity, what you have is this church marketplace where pastors are driving themselves crazy, trying to keep whiny people happy so they don't take their membership down to the franchise down the street where they can be better served. Now, hear me, it's not wrong to go to church where your needs are met, but it's wrong when the church condones rather than confronts. It's all about me culture and about me attitude that permeates inside of our world. And so I suggest that when someone comes to our church and they're investigating, you know, is RCC really the right place for me and my family? And they go to Welcome RCC, which we have every single month. I think what we ought to do is just tell them straight up, hey, if you join on and send us your church family, you need to lose the me out of member. You need to lose the me out of member, because if you're doing church the way Jesus taught, he says, you know, it's not all about me. But it's very hard to practice self-denial in a culture obsessed with self-absorption. I don't know if you know this, but Oxford Dictionary puts out a word of the year every year. And I don't know if you know the word of the year in 2013, which is hard to believe, it's 9 years ago. 2013, this word became the word of the year. 2013 had a 17,000% increase from its use in 2012. And the word of the year in 2013 was a word called selfie. This is all about taking a photo of yourself to share with the world, because apparently the world needs to know more about you, right? And so I thought I'll show you some selfies that kind of went wrong. This woman took a photo of a camel, herself, and I didn't realize that camels love to eat people. I had no idea about that, all right? This one right here, I could do 1,000 sermons on this one photo. A guy's doing a selfie, a fireman of himself, while a fire's going on, right? I bet the people in the house didn't appreciate that. You know, this is interesting right here. Somebody took a selfie of themselves in the bathroom with a horse in it. I'm like, I would think a Labrador horse. I'm like, what's going on there? And then this is probably my favorite for you cat people. This woman loves her cat. Her cat apparently doesn't love her. The world wants us to be obsessed with self, but Jesus is constantly calling his followers to go against the flow. In fact, he calls them out. Look at Mark chapter 9. I love this. The disciples and Jesus are on the way to Capernaum. Look at this. And when he was in the house, he asked them, hey guys, what in the world were you arguing about, you know, on the road back there? What were you guys arguing about? I love this. They kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the what? The greatest. What in the world? I mean, I'm like, who started that conversation? But then it goes on, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, you know what, it's a teaching opportunity. Here's a lesson, guys. Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and a servant of what? All. So when Jesus walks in a restaurant, the question I have for you is, who's the greatest in the restaurant? Is it the rich man who's sitting there and eating with his family, or is it somebody else? I would say it's the busboy. Jesus said the greatest is the servers. The person in the back who's making ends meet to wash the dishes. Jesus didn't say it's wrong to want to be something great in life. It's wrong, though, he says, to be great and how the world recognizes greatness. The world recognizes greatness from the top down. Jesus says, no, we're going to flip that around. And we recognize greatness from the bottom up. Not top down, bottom up. But the self virus is so strong that after 3 years of walking with Jesus, these guys continue trying to understand what it is to be selfless. They still don't quite get it. And these symptoms show up at the very end. So let me just take a moment from this morning and just give you this. I want to give you your inspiring example. Your inspiring example, who in the world is that? It's Jesus Christ. Your inspiring example, that's who we're trying to be like. In fact, in Luke chapter 22, before this scene happens, we're going to read about in John 13, the disciples once again are, you know, headbutting about who's the greatest. So Jesus decides to teach them a lesson. Look what happens. In John 13, verse 1, it was just before the Passover meal, festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Now think about it. If there's ever a moment when Jesus could be more focused on what he's about to go through, this is it. Keep going. Having loved his own who were in the world, Jesus loved them to the very, very end. And the evening meal was in progress. The devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Judas is at the table. If there's ever a moment when someone could legitimately have a right to hate, this is it. Goes on, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. That's pretty amazing. And that he had come from God and is returning back to God. If there's ever a moment in history where a man had a right to be proud, this is it. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' smelly dirty feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around them. And instead of grasping for position, he could have legitimately claimed, Jesus grabbed the towel. And so I'm going to ask you again, do you really want to become like Jesus? Well, there's going to be some things that you're going to have to grasp a hold of if you want to become like Jesus. First one is this, and that is servanthood is my identity. It's my identity. We're not following Jesus because he came our way. We're following Jesus because of the way that he came, because he came down. I mean, he really, 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 really came down. It says in Scripture that Jesus made himself, look at this, he made himself nothing, absolutely nothing, by taking the very nature of a what? Of a servant. Other translations will say a slave. He came to be a slave. And he didn't come greater than everybody, though he was. He came less than anybody. Hear me, the path to discipleship, if you want to be like Jesus, always goes downhill. The path to discipleship always goes downhill. Why? Well, Jesus said this, the student is not above the teacher. We're the student. But everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Well, what did Jesus do? He came to be a servant. You see, there's many job descriptions in the kingdom of God. A lot of different things you can do, but there's only one title. There's only one title in the kingdom of God, and that title is servant. There's only one title. When you said you'd follow Jesus, man, this is like a full-time 24/7 service. We're not talking about a career. We're not talking about a program. I'm talking about the redefinition of your very, very self. It's not so much what you're called to do. It's who you are called to be. I love Bob Goff, and he wrote several mini books, and he spoke one time. He said this, stop calling it ministry and start calling it Tuesday. Stop calling it ministry and start calling it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So I need to ask you, is being a servant your identity, or is a cap you wear and you take off anytime that you want? I'll tell you how you know. I'll tell you how you know. Who are you when nobody notices? Who are you when nobody applauds? Who are you when nobody says thank you? And if you're a follower of Jesus, you understand that service is your responsibility. Being an unleashed disciple is not the absence of badness, it's a presence of active goodness. In other words, when Jesus called you to follow him, a lot of people think when Jesus calls us, like he's telling us all the time, stop that, stop this, stop this, stop that, stop that. No, he's calling you to do this, do this, do this, and do that. And so I think that's pretty crucial, because it's not so much what we're called away from as much as we're called into. You aren't just saved from, you are saved for. Example, this is in the Bible. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, I don't know if you know this, it's a scripture in the Bible that says that God, before you got saved, God had prepared in advance for you to do good works before you even got saved. And one of our core beliefs and values here at RCC is this, and that is a priesthood of all believers. In other words, we don't think ministry and service is for a special group of people. We think service is for every follower of Jesus. Like we are all priests. When we came to Christ, we shifted from a consumer, and now we're a contributor. To this point, every believer in Jesus has been filled with the same Holy Spirit. Each one of us has the same Holy Spirit, but we have been given supernaturally, that's a key word, it comes from heaven, supernaturally gifted to serve in different areas. The same Spirit, but we don't all serve the same way. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but look at this, the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. I know what many people think. They go, I couldn't do that. What so-and-so does, I couldn't do that. I couldn't lead a song. I couldn't get in front of people. And I'll tell you this right now, I think that's good. I mean, I would love for you to stretch yourself sometimes. But at the same time, here's what I'm trying to get at. You have your very own supernatural gift. Here's what the Bible says. Each one of us, each one of you, should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Notice that word right there, that phrase, should use. It's the right thing to do, because each one of you has been given a gift. You have a unique gift. You have your own special gift from God. God determined, look at this, God determined the gift given to you, not you. God determines the gifts that are given to us. God doesn't come to you and go, hey, what gift do you want? He doesn't open up a catalog and say, hey, pick a gift, all right? Which gift do you want? Like you did not determine your gift, like you didn't determine where you were born or who you were born to or the shape of your nose. God just, he gives you the gifts. And I know sometimes you wish you had different gifts. I totally get that. Like when God said, Nathan, this is your giftedness, I'm like, I don't think so, Lord. Like, use somebody else. Like, I totally get that. But God determines those things. There was a sign in Colorado, a dude ranch ran across. It says, we have horses for everybody, it says. Horses for everybody. Fast people, we got fast horses. For slow people, we got slow horses. For big people, we got big horses. For little people, yep, we got little horses. For people who have never ridden a horse before, we have horses that have never been ridden before. That's funny right there. I don't care who you are. That's funny. You know, in God's church, man, every single one of us, there's different gifts all in this room, different gifts, all online as well. There are gifts for big people and little people. There are gifts for young people and not so young people. It doesn't matter if everyone is using their gifts. Here's the thing. If everyone's using their gifts, man, every need gets met. Nobody has to be burned out because God gives those gifts as he determines so the body, the church body, can work most effectively. Do you realize how many gifts have been used just for us to meet here this week? It's just amazing. People showed up hours before we came to set up the parking lot. They got hypothermia, but they did it for Jesus today, all right? People set up early. People got here to welcome you when you showed up at the doors. There's people who are using their gifts right now at the Welcome Center to ask questions, the cafe. We got people right now who are helping check in kids. Those people using their gifts. We got people who help make sure we're safe. People make sure we have experience and also our children have experience to learn about Jesus. We got people who are teaching our kids right now about Jesus Christ. We have people right now who also serve and hand out bulletins, and we have another group of people who come in and clean out those bulletins to get ready for the next service. There's a worship team who practice, prepared, rehearse, learn chords, and learn those lyrics, along with the audiovisual people back there who push it through the slides right now, run the cameras, the sound, all the things to help us have a great worship experience. Not only that, we got a team of people who are welcoming and loving on hundreds of people joining us online on our social media team. Can we just welcome all of our social media team and all those online right now? We love you guys. So thankful for you. So when you're traveling, you're sick, you can stay plugged in. We got people who are going to minister to you and shepherd you and pray for you online. We are so thankful for them. Do you realize all the people it takes so that we could be here each and every week, all using their different gifts? And this does include all the people who do amazing outreach of RCC each and every day throughout the week. I mean, today, I'm going to tell you right now, today could be your significant moment. You should have picked up one of these right here, this Get Involved card. And I'm asking you, will you go ahead and take the step? Will you go ahead and just take a risk and jump in? And just what service do you want to, I would call it test drive. I talked about service, the social media team. Maybe you're like, you know what? I'll be on the social media team. You could write that in the very bottom or something else. But look on here, and I'm going to challenge you. Don't go and leave today without checking something and putting it in the giving box or the crosses, taking the crosses or someone on the prayer team. And some people go, well, I need to pray about it. Like, you know, sometimes you just need to do it. You just need to step out and do it. And I'm telling you right now, you'll be blessed if you do that. It's no accident, by the way, you're here today hearing this message. It's no accident that you're in this church. It's no accident what is happening in this church. Isn't it true? Think about this. Isn't it true if God wanted to, he could have had you born in the 3rd or 12th century? If God wanted to, you could have been born in the 3rd or 12th century. Isn't it true if God wanted to, he could have had you born in Afghanistan or Albania or another place that feels like another country, Alabama? I mean, he could have if he wanted to. For you, Alabama, I was born in Alabama, okay? So you guys don't get too offended, all right? So, but you know, he could have had you born anywhere at any time if he wanted to. But for some reason, of all the ages of time on God's continuum, he has you alive right now in 2022. living in this country, sitting in this church. Isn't that incredible? Think about the odds of that. Very, very small. And I tell you something, God does not make mistakes. Never one time do you open up the Bible and you read where it says, the Lord says, oops, I didn't see that coming. Like, you'll never read that. Why? Because God doesn't make mistakes. And for some reason, he's got you alive right here, right now. We read in Acts chapter 17 that God determines the time set for people, the exact places where he wants them to live. In other words, in all the ages of time, God handpicked you to be here in this country, in this church, in this particular time. Family, there's a reason for that, because God does not make mistakes. Of all the ages of time, of all the nations of the world, of all the states, of all the cities, of all the churches, God put you here at this time in this place. This is your significant moment to be used by God, to be unleashed by God. So don't waste this. Don't waste this opportunity. Take advantage of it. Maybe you grew up and you like sports, but you play on a team, but you didn't get to play very often because the star players played, right? So you watch them play, and you sit on the bench more than you wanted to. Let me tell you something that's really cool about Jesus' team. You ready? Everybody plays. Everybody plays on Jesus' team. When Jesus gave you a jersey to be on his team, it was never his intention for you to sit in the stands and watch everybody else play the game. The other thing that's so cool about Jesus' team, I love this part, here it is when you help somebody else score. The win is when you help somebody else score. Stephen Colbert gave a commencement speech at Northwestern University where he graduated from, and he said this. He says, when I graduated from college, I went to Chicago and got involved in the comedy group there. We specialize in improv, and here's what I learned about improv. You can never think in that moment that this scene is about me. Improv, when you improv, you have to be working and thinking, how can I set up the other person as more important? And they have to be thinking the same thing. Then he said, life is a lot like improv. Every day you wake up, life throws you an audible, and you got to improvise. And you have to do life thinking, how can I get somebody else to win? How can I build it and set up someone else to score and get the win? So right now, I would visualize yourself at a basin of water. Here, a basin of water, you got two choices. You can use the basin of water and just use it to wash your hands like Pilate did. And he said this, he says, I'm not getting involved. When Jesus was being crucified, he wanted out. He didn't want to get involved. And you can run away, you can avoid, and you can hide. You can do that. Or at this basin of water, you can take another approach. And that is you take a towel and be like Jesus and start serving other people. For some reason, that's a downer for some. But for disciples of Jesus, that's how you lift Jesus up. Because we understand, this is very important, that serving is our priority. Why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? Have you thought about that? Why did he do that? Was there some kind of mystical, profound, you know, complicated theological motivation that he was illustrating? Why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? You know why? Because they were dirty. They were dirty. When you're a servant, you see a need, you respond. That's what Jesus sends you and I to do in this world wherever we go. He did not unleash us in the world to have us force our values and our faith in the world. He says, you know what? This is not going to be a top-down. This is going to be a bottom-up movement. We live in a world where people are so skeptical about faith, especially Christianity. Why? Because many people have seen Christians who look nothing like Jesus. And so they're very critical of this whole movement. And our witness cannot be primarily propositional. Like, we need to share the gospel, I get it. But it can't be primarily propositional. It has to also be observational. Here's why. Because there is no effective rebuttal to service. Think about it. There's no effective rebuttal to service. If the church lives like the church should live, we will always be counterculture. There will always be pushback against culture. But here's what the Holy Spirit through the servant Peter says we should do. Look at the screen. It says this: for this is the will of God. What's the will of God? That by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Well, how do we do that? Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as, read with me, church, as what? Servants of God. That's how we shut people up. The greatest argument against pushback with a world full of skepticism and critical spirits in our culture is to be unleashed as servants of God, because there is no effective rebuttal to service. It's hard for us to believe that service can matter that much, because nobody is there when we're serving, you know, applauding us. Nobody's there, you know, liking us on Facebook. But listen, we need to take a higher view of what happens when we go low. We need to take a higher view of what happens when we go low. Check out this photo right here. This is of a guy named Simon Beck. He's an artist who lives in France. For exercise, Simon liked to run. He would run until he messed up his feet. And then he kept wanting to be active, so he decided to get snowshoes and started trudging through the snow for exercise. Well, he's an artist, and so he wanted to kind of, like, how can I use my time? How can I be intentional with every step that I take? And so he started putting his mind together, and I want you to look at this photo, and you're probably looking at this photo going, man, what in the world is he doing? This is what he's doing. Each step that he took is making this incredible artwork, and here specifically a wolf howling at the moon there on the side of a mountain. So when you take a higher view, you see what every single step does. It matters. Every single step is part of a bigger photo that you can see from above. Once again, we have got to take a higher view of what happens when we go low. And I believe when Jesus unleashes an army into the world, every step is creating a masterpiece like this for the glory of God. Maybe you're coaching a t-ball team and half those boys don't have a dad. They're a rowdy bunch. That's your step. Maybe you're out, you know, eating and the waitress doesn't quite know exactly what she's doing, or the waiter doesn't know what he's doing. Or maybe you got a clerk and he's tired, it's been a long day, and they're kind of fumbling around. You give them a smile. You give them a kind word. That's taking a step. For some of you, it's honoring a mother, honoring a father right now who doesn't even know who you are anymore. That's your step. I believe if we could truly embrace the value of taking those steps, we would make the Lord Jesus more beautiful to a skeptical world. Here's what Peter says. He says, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. So that, look at this, in all things, God may be praised. That's why we do it. Through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. So I'm gonna ask you once again, do you really want to be like Jesus? If so, why don't you take that step? Well, here's what you got to do when you take that step. You've got to get rid of the me and member, and you have to keep the low and follow. You have to get rid of the me and keep the low and follow. And maybe because you're going to follow Jesus, I'm telling you right now, you're going to have to go low. You're going to have to get your hands dirty. You're going, man, this person doesn't deserve my forgiveness. You forgive anyway. Go low. Some of you right now, you're like, that kid is so awkward in my school. Man, invite them to your table. Go low. That family down the street has a child with special needs. They look exhausted. You know what? They need a break. Why don't you step in and watch their child one evening? You might be exhausted, but they get a night off. Go low. Maybe your kids are grown and they're out of the house, but RCC Kids Ministry needs help. Go low if you want to be like Jesus. The path to be unleashed as disciples always goes downhill. It's worth it because at the end of the path, you're going to hear these words from your Father in heaven, these words that say this, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm asked oftentimes, where, Pastor, does your church meet? And that's a complicated question, because often you would go, okay, Fleming Island, that's where we meet. But we're only here for a couple hours a week. Some here more. But not most of our life. I'll tell you where my church meets. Where my church is, they're in courthouses, they're in classrooms, they're in cafes, they're in schools and garages and offices and parks and nurseries. My church is all over Northeast Florida and all around the world taking steps to follow Jesus. And you, if you're not, you need to get in the game. So what are you going to do? Are you just going to sit there, think about it, talk about it, walk away and not take a step? Or are you going to fill this out today? Go ahead and do that right now. If you haven't done it, go ahead and fill it out right now. And I want to pray over that. Will you, everybody stand right now? Everybody please stand. And I want to pray over these cards. I want you to hold them. If you don't mind, hold this card. And you know, I meet people every week and have this gnawing dissatisfaction about their life or their mechanics or their software developers. And it's like, I'm wondering if what I'm doing is making a difference. If you want to make a difference, fill this card out. We'll follow up with you. My fear is that some of you in this room never live out your new identity that God has given you. Never experience the thrills and the chills of God using you. God has given you a gift to be used in this time and this place. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity. We're not given lots of them. Let's take full advantage. Let's pray right now.